Awesome. Hi, Wayne.
This meeting is now being recorded.
There's trouble. There's trouble with Wayne.
Oh, is that Lissa?
Yeah. That would be me. Hey.
Hey, Lissa.
Brian Hunt from Maryland.
Hey, hello. How you doing?
Who's from Maryland?
Brian Haas.
All right, we'll give everyone a couple seconds to jump right in, and then we'll get started.
Aaron from Florida.
Welcome, Aaron.
Welcome.
Is that your Brian Haas from Maryland? Hey.
Hello, hello.
Hey, Ryan.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome.
Hey,
right,
Lisa.
Well,
Joey,
not hearing too many
Kentucky.
Beeps. What'd you say? All right, you guys.
Hey,
I'm not hearing too many other beeps. So we're going to get started. Quick couple of housekeeping things. Just for reference, for muting, you can do *6 on your landline phone, or mute if you have mute on your capability on your cell phone. And if you unmute, if you want to say something, which we totally encourage, it's *67. But we do ask while we're talking back and forth that you keep yourself on mute, just so we don't kind of hear all that background noise. But want to start off the call and thank everyone for coming. We're so excited to have the second LHON live call. Andy, Marie, and I are so excited to kind of get this thing up and running. And, of course, jump right into a topic that we all know and love is assistive technology. Assistive technology obviously kind of helps our world go round. We work, we pick out our outfits with color, and, I mean, you name it, we kind of rely a lot on our computers and iPhones and iPads and you name it sort of thing. So just kind of what we're going to be talking about today, we have a guest speaker today. His name is Jacob. He is a high schooler. So he'll be talking a little bit about schoolwork and kind of how he handles schoolwork as he is 16 years old now but was affected at age 11. He'll be talking a little bit more about sports and different things like that. He is all the way in New York. So we're so excited to have him. And Jacob, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us and kind of let us learn a little bit about you. It's really interesting, as always, to hear about someone else who has LHON and especially at a different age than we were affected and what tips and tricks they have for us to learn. So that will be awesome. We have that awesome segment. And from there, Maria will kind of give us a blind tip, which we are going to try to do every phone call because, I mean, it doesn't matter at what point we've been affected. Everyone kind of has a different tip and trick that kind of helps them cope and helps them be efficient. And we can always learn from each other and kind of try to beat that learning curve a little bit faster. So we're excited to hear Maria's blind tip. From there, Maria, Andy, and I will each talk about how assistive technology has helped us in our daily lives, everything from iPhones, iPads, Zoom text, CCTVs, Macs, VoiceOver, I mean, the things that kind of help our world go round. So, and 2 seconds, a little bit summary about me. My name is Jessica Loomer. I am the author of Blind Girls Can Rock Heels. So definitely check that out and kind of hear my trials and tribulations and successes and random thoughts in my head of how life is with LHON. My family's definitely been affected with LHON, as my brother, who at age 6 was affected, now 27, my aunt at age 63 has been affected, and she's been affected for about 6 months or so. My uncle was affected at age 20-ish, and now 50, and I was affected at age 27, now 28. So we kind of joke a little bit that it's Loomer's fighting labors. So we're totally here for everyone. We are so excited to be a part of the LHON community. It's been so awesome to be able to connect with other people that totally get it, you know. And my biggest thing is that no one cares how old you are or how long you've had it. You can definitely connect with everyone at some certain level. So that's pretty exciting. But, again, want to introduce Andy Marks. and Maria Johnson, our other host of the call. We definitely work hard together to try to bring a structured and informative phone call for you guys all. Our biggest goal for the phone call is just to get to know each other. We want to make sure that we can kind of put faces and voices together and be able to reach out to people, obviously, all over the world. Shout out from Hong Kong. Our goal of the call is not to talk about medical things, how many pills we're on, different kind of things that are going on. We are not professionals in any matter. We are just here as a resource, a sounding block, a companion in that sense. Definitely not anything medical. So, Annie, Maria, anything to add?
No, this is Maria, Girl Gone Blind, and welcome everybody to the call, and thank you for being here. Andy?
Yeah, thanks everybody.
All right, well, let's jump right in. I'd like to introduce Jacob. Jacob, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, perfect. Tell us a little bit about yourself. So you were affected at age 11, now 16. Tell us a little bit about how it's to navigate the high school hallways and how do you do your schoolwork when you're sitting in one of, like, the quote-unquote normal classrooms?
Well, I mean, getting around is pretty easy for me because I still have my peripheral vision.
Okay.
Most people do, and my schoolwork is pretty – can be difficult, but, I mean, I use an iPad to kind of do the work.
And you're able to, so your teachers email you the worksheets and then you upload them onto your iPad so you can kind of follow along?
Yes.
They
also can, there's an application I use that mirrors whatever the teacher has on the board onto my iPad so I can see whatever they're projecting onto the screen.
Oh, that's very cool. So you can kind of zoom in on your iPad to make sure you know what she's talking about or what they're saying?
Yes.
Okay, that's very cool. So different classes that you're involved in, and you have the iPad that's been a huge help. Are you able to complete, like, papers? Do you do everything on your iPad?
I'd say about maybe 80% of it. The rest of it is in Braille that
okay.
I have transcribed from a TVI, a teacher of the visually impaired.
Okay. Now, how do you have a Bluetooth keyboard that you connect to your iPad, or do you do everything by touch, or how do you operate that?
I normally use both, but I like to use the wireless keyboard because it's more tactile and I learn to touch type, and it's a lot easier for me.
And you just know the keyboard really well, or do you have special buttons or bump dots that you use?
They have the bumps on the F and the J, and from there I'm good.
Oh, okay. The only reason I ask is I use, like, F10, F commands a lot, so I have my bumps on F10, and I always miss the O, so I have a bump dot on the O, so that kind of helps me keep in line with my keyboard. So that's kind of just a personal preference. Now, you were affected at age 11, so what grade is that?
That was around the end of 6th grade, going into my 7th grade, my 7th grade year.
Oh, okay. So your parents just kind of jumped you right into getting a teacher for a visually impaired?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome.
The school provided it very fast and easy for me.
I mean, that makes a huge difference, especially kind of transitioning from elementary school to middle school and high school. I'm sure that made a huge difference. Now, you were telling us yesterday, and this is always some people's kind of curiosity, and some people use a cane and some people don't, but you just kind of learned, I mean, you went to your hallways for your high school just kind of make sure you knew how to navigate and the school worked with you?
Yeah. I would go, actually before I, like, got to high school, I went during the summer with a parent, and they helped me navigate around, saying, oh, this is your classroom, you know, this is another classroom. And even the school had made it so I have classes on one side of the building for one day, and the next day I'll have classes on the other side of the building. That way I don't have to I don't get lost or scrambled throughout the building and don't make it to my class on time.
Oh, very nice. I mean, it's so nice that they're accommodating. And kind of jumping back to your iPad, do you use different, like, keystrokes, or you have VoiceOver on the whole time? Does that help you navigate it?
Yes, I normally use VoiceOver, and if I have to, I can use the Zoom to zoom in, the triple tap Zoom.
Yeah, that's a huge plus. I use that day in and day out for sure.
I don't know if we'll have to jump in, but what size is the iPad?
It's the iPad, I don't know, like, the length of it, but the iPad, the new iPad Air.
Okay, so it's, like, standard size. I think it's, like, an 8.5 by 11-ish. It'd be my best guess.
Yeah, so it's not the iPad Mini. It's the full-size iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Good question.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I just saw something at Costco the other day. It was 12.5 inches. I don't know who made it, but it was, you know, $700.
Oh. Wow.
Oh, wow. That's
a tablet? A tablet of some sort?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's big.
I know, that's very big. And there's some, I mean, there's definitely awesome tablets out there. In no way, shape, or form are we, like, pro-Apple, and we work for Apple, but Apple just is, it's easy, it's accessible. They just make it very easy to navigate and turn VoiceOver on and off. My Apple products are my go-to, especially because they sync together. I'm able to work on one thing on my iPad, and then I switch to my iPhone and kind of zoom in and zoom out. So my iPad is my left arm. Yes?
Sorry, this is Benjamin. I just wanted
note
that Samsung Galaxy makes these, I think it's the 7-inch one that you were talking about. Yeah, Samsung Galaxy makes them.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Okay, so that's Android. Okay. Can I get back to Jacob here? Can you tell us some of the applications that you use on a daily basis, not only with schoolwork, but maybe some of your favorite applications?
I mean, I use Facebook like all teenage boys do. I also use Pages. It's very similar to Microsoft Word on, like, a desktop computer. And it's basically compatible with Microsoft Word. Anything a teacher emails me that's in a Microsoft Word document, I can get over into a Pages document, and if I needed to email the document back to them, it'll switch it right back into Microsoft Word. I also use Keynote, which is the same as another form of PowerPoint, but for the Apple products. And what else? I use an application called Join Me, which is the one that mirrors the images or the screen on the projector onto my iPad.
That's awesome.
Tell us about your camera trick.
Sometimes if the Join Me application is not working or it's giving me trouble at the time, I will use the iPad, camera on the iPad, to see what's on the board, see far distances, follow the teacher along and see what they're doing, if they're doing any gestures or anything that they are showing on a map in the front of the class or anything.
And you use the Zoom feature to zoom in on that, which I think is brilliant. And that's because I think that came up because you don't have a CCTV, and that's using the camera feature with the Zoom actually helps you if you don't have a CCTV available or you don't own one.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about when you were affected and how that all came about? Because it's always, I always love to hear, I don't love it, but, you know, I like to hear everyone's journey on when they became affected and what they were kind of going through and then how they got diagnosed, because we all have different stories but the same story. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Jacob?
Yeah. It was like the end of my sixth grade year, and I was looking up at a overhead that the teacher was doing notes on. And out of my left eye, I couldn't see it as well, and I said, maybe it's just glasses. So I told my mom, and she had taken me to see the doctor just to see if I needed glasses. And the doctor said, that's really strange that it's only in one eye. So they sent me to an ophthalmologist. And they did all the tests, visual field, the photography, all of those. And they still didn't understand it. In the New York area, nobody knew what it was. And finally they had sent me to a retinal specialist, and he had said, it's this Leber's, and we had no clue what that was. It was the first time someone had ever said that to us, and we had gotten all the testing done. I had done MRIs, CAT scans, all of those to see if it was something in my head, like a nerve or anything. And finally, my vision over time had kept getting worse and worse, and they finally diagnosed me with Leber's. And it was really scary for me. I was going blind. I had nothing else to compare it to. And my mom had actually emailed all the specialists in the country. And she had kind of just picked the one that she thought thought would be best. And we had flown out to see him, and he's been really nice and been really good ever since.
And that would be Dr. Sadin.
Yes.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, sounds like it's very similar to, I know many callers that are here that went through the same thing. At least in the last few years, you know, if they were diagnosed, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago, you know, they didn't have a lot of that stuff, or they didn't even look at that kind of stuff. So, your story is, very common, and, you know, we all know what that's like to go through that. Jessica, do we have any more questions for Jacob?
Yeah, I kind of wanted Jacob to touch on, sports and what you're involved in. That it was so interesting when you had told us about basketball, and I mean that's of course contact sport that we all kind of need some hand-eye coordination. Tell us a little bit about what sports you're involved in.
Well, the fall and spring of my freshman year, I started to do rowing as well, and I mean you don't really need vision to row because all you have a coxswain and they tell you row. And if you need to pull harder on one side. So I was doing that for a while, but it had interfered with my schoolwork because it had taken me 2 to 3 times longer, and it would be very difficult for me to kind of get work in on time. And, I mean, I've done basketball since I was really young and even before I lost my vision. And, I mean, I play just a recreational league with friends and other people, and I get a lot of the passes kind of like on the outside, like not straight to me, like a regular pass. I kind of do like bounce passes or like off to the side, and that normally works because I have all my peripheral vision.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it's awesome that your friends kind of work with you and definitely make adjustments, and you're still out there playing basketball, so it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Any other cool sports you're in?
At the moment, not at the moment.
No.
Jacob, I know you weren't able to listen to our last call and be a part of that because you were actually at camp. Can you talk a little bit about that experience?
Oh, yeah. I was at a camp up in New York at Brockport. At Saratoga. But it was originally started in Brockport. And it's for children, teens who are legally blind or completely blind. And it's a sports camp that allows them to kind of have a similar kind of sports camp that kids with vision go to. And they interact, and we play goal ball and beat baseball. And we did, at this year at the camp, they did horseback riding, judo, stand-up paddleboard, and another one more, I can't, track and field and tandem biking. And it was really fun. It was my first year, and I was actually asked to come back again next year to be a counselor in training for that.
That's great. That sounds like a great camp. I wish I wasn't too old for that.
Yeah, me too.
Not
I could use a vacation for being mom.
Right?
Yeah.
Amy Marie, you guys have anything else for Jacob?
No, I mean, go ahead, Maria.
No, I don't have any questions. He covered what I asked, so I don't.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I'll have you touch on. I mean, first, I just want to thank you, Jacob, so much, and for everyone on the call, we encourage you to do as Jacob did and raise your hand by emailing us at LHON Live if you'd like to kind of face our wrath of questions one month and kind of let everyone get to know you a little bit as well. But also, Jacob, I did have one question for you, and I know you talked about it a little bit when we were speaking earlier, but originally your school didn't provide you an iPad, and can you talk a little bit about, like, just the maze of figuring out which pieces of technology worked best for you and how you navigated that?
Well, they originally had provided me with a laptop and JAWS and Magic and Zoom Text, and as well as a Zoom Twist. It's a a stationary camera that you can follow along with the teacher and kind of take pictures and see what they're, like, take pictures of documents, and it'll read the Word document. And that was very difficult because it wasn't as portable as an iPad, and I had a TV I had come in and said an iPad would probably be best, and I had tried it out, and it was a lot easier for me to use, and I worked with an iPod, and that was pretty easy for me when I was a kid, so I finally started to, the school, my freshman year, they finally got into that and said the iPad is probably the best thing. And I've been using that ever since.
So it was kind of a combination between you telling them what worked best and them also making recommendations, it sounds like, a little bit. And that's one thing I've learned as well, even in the working world, that it's almost very unique. It's been an experience unlike many other accommodations that may be required at work or at school in your case. We have accommodations that sometimes we need to try a few things, and that's certainly something I've tried out at my work. You try something, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. Maybe someone else, in your case a TBI or some specialist, has a recommendation, and that's advice I have for the most part. I mean, don't be afraid to try things. Don't be afraid to raise your hand and ask for things, whether it be in your office or any number of things. I know I've experimented. I've had people come in and say, hey, Andy, would it be better for you to have lots of light, no light, somewhere in between? And I'll say, I don't know, let's try it all. It sounds like that's what you did, and I kind of commend you for doing that at such a young age, because sometimes it's tough to just want to try different things, and it's frustrating. I thought that was very interesting that they gave you one thing and you kind of worked through along with them to find out what was best for you.
Yeah. The school has even provided me with a Braille teacher, and I've learned grade 1, grade 2, and I'm also learning Nemeth, which is like the math Braille. And I've been working on that so far, and that's, Braille has come in handy just as well as technology, too.
Which way do you use Braille?
Even when I go out to a restaurant, people say it's not used anymore, it's not important, but I mean, when you're in a dark lit restaurant and you don't want to bother your parents like me, and at Ruby Tuesdays they actually have a Braille menu, and I'll sit there and read my menu and I'll order right off of it, and I don't need any assistance.
That's so cool.
That's
such an interface factor.
Yeah.
Well, that is great. Jacob, again, thank you so much for being our guest speaker. We really appreciate you reaching out to lhomlive@gmail.com, but more importantly, coming and sharing the story and reaching out to us. I think it's so inspirational to hear. I mean, 11 to 16, so young, and you are totally on top of your A game. That's awesome. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob.
All right. And I'm kind of switching gears. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jamie. Yes?
Jessica, this is Benjamin. I running along that sports line,
yes.
Sports question that you raised, could you maybe talk about your marathon and your training for it? And just maybe not so marathon as a sport, but maybe just running in general with a guide. Maybe that would be something that people could, you know, imagine themselves doing.
Absolutely, yeah. I definitely would love to talk about my running and the whole journey. We're going to jump really quick to kind of the assistive technology, and then we'll jump back to the Q&A,
okay.
And I'll definitely love to kind of share a little of my running guide story. Do you mind?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So kind of switching gears, we could switch to Andy and Maria, kind of talking about iPhones, iPads, working and rocking a small business, Facebook, social media. Maria, you want to jump in first?
Sure. Hey, everyone, it's Maria, and I have only been affected, I have not even been diagnosed a year, so I haven't been affected that long. So my technology knowledge is not as vast or, you know, intense as some of you out there, or even with Andy and Jessica. I'm still learning a lot from them and other people that I talk to. But when I first started losing my vision and we realized, you know, that I was going to probably need some modifications to my computer and things, because as Jessica said, I have actually owned a couple of little businesses and run a small boot camp. For those of you who don't know, I'm into the health and fitness industry. And again, running a small boot camp, kind of had a health business. I also teach group fitness. And I was teaching at several locations before I lost my vision, and I've scaled that down quite a bit. But I promoted a lot of that stuff on Facebook and through social media, and I really felt like I was being cut off, you know, very quickly with just your basic iMac, and that's what I had. So we switched everything out, and now I have a Mac Mini with a 27-inch monitor. I have a microphone, and I use all the accessibility features that come on Mac, and I use the Zoom, which I have to pretty much use all the time. Everything has to be zoomed in, maxed out. I use dictation, and I dictate 95% of everything that I do. I am not keyboard skilled. I didn't pay attention in seventh grade typing, and now it's clear that I need it. So I plan to learn to use the keyboard. But right now I looked down and up when I was typing before when I could see. And clearly, that was what I was doing. And because now I can't type. So I dictate everything through accessibility. And that's how I write my blog. I do use pages with dictation at a large point size, very large, zoomed in. Then I copy and paste that into my blog site and then go from there. So that's how I write in that very small little blog and get so much out. I use VoiceOver and I read all my emails are spoken to me. I highlight different things. Doesn't really work that well in web pages or Facebook. So I actually do a lot of highlight, right-click speech on Facebook on my computer. And that's pretty much what I do when I'm sitting at a computer. I just recently got an iPad. And, you know, now I'm one of the cool kids with an iPad. Mm-hmm. And what I have found is that is going to open up my world.
What size?
I got the iPad Air, so it's the large, you know, it's a large screen one. And I was feeling very cut off from the world, and that was, you know, felt like that was part of my loss when I lost my vision, is that I was connecting and branding myself as health and fitness and boot camp through social media. And I could no longer do that. I couldn't post the cool pictures and all that kind of thing. So I have been able to do a little bit, but I just can't do as much. And I couldn't keep up with what all my people were doing, you know. I can't maneuver Facebook on my computer. So that's where the iPad came in, and now I realize that the iPad with VoiceOver will read me Facebook. I can comment, I can like, I can do all that good stuff, post, which I'm all learning that kind of thing, and I won't go on the iPad because that's Andy's going to talk about that. But like some of you, or maybe not, but I'm just learning a lot of this stuff myself. And when I got the iPad, I was scared of it. And I'm thinking, oh, boy, this is going to be hard to learn. It's a lot of swiping and tapping and twirling around and, you know, running around the house and figuring out how to do it. And it's really, I'm just learning by experimenting. But it has connected me a little bit more into the world of social media where my computer could not. And I didn't even realize that a lot of this stuff is also the same thing I could do on my iPhone, but as with an iPhone, I can't see the screen at all. So I'm really enjoying learning the new features. Like I said, I'm just kind of getting into that stuff myself. But that's pretty much what I use, and I'm kind of coming around, you know, with the, like I said, with all the cool stuff myself. And the other thing that, it's not really technology so much, but I just want to point out, because it is important, is book readers. You know there's that service for the blind, the book reader. It's not high tech at all. Or you can do it on your iPad, and you can download audiobooks. There's a lot of different ways to do it. You can do it on a thumb drive, you could, you know, digitally, and all of that, but that subject has come up a few times in the last couple days for me, and it's not high tech, but, you know, there's just days when you might need your, you know, you just might need to tap into an audiobook, and that's pretty cool in it, and you can get the book readers, you can get books sent to you, and things like that, and like I said, there is a service for the blind that's free for that, so I just wanted to add that in really quick, although it's not super high tech, but it's important for people who are visually impaired and can't read any, you know, read a normal book anymore. So that's pretty much what I am throwing in here. Like I said, I use the Mac Mini, and I'm learning the iPad and the iPhone like many of you guys out there. So I'm going to turn it over to Andy, who is going to talk about iPads and iPhones, and he knows a lot more than me. So, Andy, take it away.
Well, hey, everybody. It's really interesting that Maria started by using the excuse of being new to this whole thing and then set me up to be the expert when I'm the rookie in the room.
Well, you know more than me. You know more than me.
I pride myself on knowing a thing or two about iPhones and iPads and everything there. I did start finding, you know, Apple being very accessible very quickly and enjoyed what they had to offer. However, I mean, I went to all the stores, the Apple stores, the Windows stores, to kind of see what kind of computer, what kind of technology I wanted, both for work and for my personal life, when all of this started happening and when I started realizing that some of this was going to be permanent to some degree. And actually became an expert on all of the pieces of technology, much more so than the people in those retail stores, pretty quickly. And really tried to utilize all of that. So, I mean, there are several things I use now, both at work and in my personal life, and I'll go into each of those a little bit. But the way I was able to get most of those is actually through different Division for Blind Services and things like that. So I encourage everyone here to actually seek out government sources like those, or your work, or your school, things like those. A lot of those are quite often very willing to help you in a way. Whether it be funding it or providing advice on what things they recommend. There are also private agencies that have things like that as well, whether it just be advice, and they can't help you fund anything. But at this point, I do market research here in Orlando, Florida. I noticed there were a few more Floridians on the line, so go us. But I do market research here in Central Florida, so I'm on a computer most of the day, other than a few meetings that I will attend. And so for my computer, I actually use Zoom Text, and Jessica's the expert there, so I won't go too much into that. But whenever I'm not at my desk, whether it be a meeting or in and around any line of work, I actually have an iPad with me as well. And I use it very similar to how Jacob uses it. I keep it with a Bluetooth keyboard and can type anything I want because I did pay attention in typing class. And I had learned those skills already. So typing was something I was able to do. And once I realized I wasn't able to see my own handwriting anymore and started having everyone else sign my checks, I realized I needed another way to take notes while I was chatting with my boss or with different partners at work. So I actually carry an iPad everywhere I go at work. I generally have my iPad in my hand, and I have a Pebble on my hip usually, a Pebble being a portable CCTV. I actually don't use that as often as I thought I would, to be honest, but it is there if and when I need it. Similar to Jacob, if I actually go to a work meeting and there are people that don't know me and for some reason give me hard copies of things, before I pass the stack of papers on to the next person, I kind of snap a picture of the hard copy, and so I can use that electronically, zoom in, zoom out on my phone, not on my phone, on my iPad, throughout the meeting, and look at it that way. Sometimes, and I know Jacob didn't talk about this, but Jacob told us earlier that he actually uses an earbud or headphones during class quite often. I'll do that sometimes. However, I'm much more likely to be doing that at my desk than in meetings. And that's how I'll use VoiceOver on the iPad. I actually had it set up on both my iPad and my iPhone where I can turn it on and turn it off just by pushing the home button 3 times. So I'll go back and forth between apps that I choose to highlight and have spoken to me with speak selection, which is a setting you can turn on your phone. And if we need to go into details of things like that, we're more than welcome to do those things as well. But I either use that highlight and speak selection, or I'll use VoiceOver where I turn it on and then touch something and it will be spoken to me, or I zoom in with a three-finger double tap to zoom in and zoom out, because there are still things that I can read if I'm zoomed in far enough. So those are some pieces of technology I use. I also have a monitor arm at work that I use. And I'm the only one I know, although this isn't technology, I'm the only person I know with LHON that's kind of requested that piece of work, and it may be because I have very unique vision, but I find myself needing to be within an inch of the screen quite often. So I have a monitor arm that I can move around my desk so I can put the monitor as close to me as I like. I also have a CCTV with OCR, optical character recognition, so it can read hard copies to me and things like that. That's most of what I use day to day. And so I guess I'll pass the baton back to you, Jessica, or for other questions.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll do a quick synopsis of what kind of makes my world go around. I actually swear by Zoom Text. I have a PC at work, and an Apple at home. And if I had to compare one to the other, it's hard to compare, but I can't brag enough about Zoom Text. Zoom Text allows, and they've actually just come out with an update, 10.1, recently, that will actually allow your computer to zoom 60 times. It's huge. Not that I necessarily need it, but when I'm a project manager for a mining company, it's awesome so I can look at numbers, because if I miss a number here or there, that could be expensive. Because I'm not what I thought was an expert at typing, I am not, turns out, Zoom Text will actually read to me what I type. So if I type out a word that's misspelled, it will tell me exactly how I just typed that word. So by listening, I'm able to tell if the word is completely misspelled. Zoom Text has so many features. You're able to, what I just actually learned from Andy, read PDFs, I read websites, FedEx.com, all the time, trying to make sure, and I use reading zones. So I'll set up reading zones throughout the page for it to select different sections of the website to read to me. It reads every one of my emails that I get on a daily basis. I'm able to write all of my emails that way. That's actually how I write every single one of my blogs, is through Zoom text and having it recite back to me as I'm proofreading and writing and things like that. I currently have Zoom text 10, and that is probably the most up-to-date that's offered worldwide. I mean, between reading it back to me, being able to tell me exactly what I'm typing, being able to use the hover option with your mouse, and it can read to you whatever you're hovering. There's so many options to Zoom text. There is Zoom text available for Windows and Mac. Mac was actually just released probably within the last year, right, Maria?
Yeah, I have it.
Last year?
Yes. It was probably, it's within this last year.
And it's literally my right hand. I'm able to do everything I can do normally on a computer with Zoom text and zoom completely in and out. Web pages are completely compatible with Zoom text. I read my blog, Maria's blog. All of those are pretty compatible with Zoom text. And WordPress is actually getting a little bit more accessible, so it'll be awesome to kind of see those advancements in the future. But I actually contacted AI Squared, who their customer service is over the top. And that's really important to me because I'm not going to go online and find a text search field to figure out what's wrong with my Zoom text. So I call them all the time. And their customer service is awesome. They are always willing to help. I probably have my question answered within hours, which is perfect because if I don't have Zoom text, I can't work. So they are definitely on top of it. And they actually sent me like a little tips and tricks PDF, which I will post on the LHON page after this call. Some people might be aware of the shortcuts and tricks that they offer. Some might be new, and some probably are just kind of old hat to, like, one of my favorite tricks on Zoom text is if you press a sequence of keys, it tells you the time. So, I mean, that is a lifesaver in itself to know the time because all of us, I think, wonder what time it is multiple times throughout the day if we're unable to see our watch. So if I can answer any questions about Zoom text at a later date, I'd be happy to. I can't rave enough about Zoom text. And also that what helps me a lot is a CCTV. I was actually able to go to my blind center here in Arizona and try out different CCTVs. There are CCTVs that you can, it's like an overhang camera over your screen, so you can kind of put your papers or whatever you want underneath it. There are CCTVs
What brand do you have?
I have a Merlin. I'm very lucky. I have a Merlin. It's very good quality. But there are a huge amount of brands, and actually I'm working with my blind center to get a list of brands that are out there. And honestly, it just kind of depends on trying things out, as like Andy said. You really have to see if you can get to your blind center, because what's good for me might not be good for you, because I like a lot of light. And some people don't. So it just kind of varies depending on your vision and what you kind of prefer. But I mean, I use my CCTV for everything. That's how I write thank you cards and sign my checks. It's how I pay my credit card bills online so I can see my credit card bill. It's how I know what nail color I'm wearing that day. So I use it for a vast amount of things, but, the CCTV has really made a difference for me. So between Zoom text and the CCTV, that is actually how I complete my job day in and day out. Just like quote unquote normal. And kind of just relate, everything is personal choice. It's all a kind of a matter of preference. What works for you and what doesn't might be different for each person. Random side note, I also have a Pebble and I don't use it as often as I thought I would. I think it's because the screen is so small. I'd probably compare it to the size of the screen of an iPhone. And I don't use it that well because I can't see it that well because the screen's not that big. But it is a great option. It's a portable CCTV. So it's out there, but, again, total personal preference.
Jessica, well,
just
can I jump in?
Just for reference, I've had two CCTVs. But the best one I ever had is made by Optilec.
Oh, okay.
I would trade the one I have in now for an Optilec.
Okay, good to know.
Do you mind us asking what were the differences and why you prefer the Optilec? I'm just curious.
They told me when I bought it, it was, glass lenses, not plastic. And it was just so sharp, and I could put a credit card underneath, and I could read the numbers on it, whereas the one I have now, the way it reflects, it's a glare, and you can't read the numbers.
Do you prefer glass or plastic?
Say again?
Which one do you prefer, glass or plastic?
Well, glass lens.
Okay.
On the Optilec.
Oh, okay, the lens.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I can't put certain things under the one I have now. It's just a glare and blurs out, and you can't read the numbers.
Yeah.
But the other one's Optilec was way sharper.
Oh, that's good to know. Good.
I agree. I have an Optilec at work that I use, and it brings out a very clear picture.
Can you spell that Optilec, L-U-X, or how do you spell that?
I think it's Optilec. It's maybe L-E-C.
Maria, it's Optilec. It's Optelec. It's made real near where I live. It's the one Jeremy has also. Optelec, Optilec.
Oh, okay. It's out there in, it's in California, Vista or something.
It's a European company, and then their U.S. division's in real close to, it's in the San Diego area.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good to know. I also have a CCTV, but mine's an older model. I bought it used, and I haven't been that thrilled about it because it just doesn't seem to be as sharp and, color and all that kind of thing. And I'm thinking it's just because it's old, but I may be in the market. And thank you guys for telling us the ones that you thought worked really well. But just touching real back on the assistive technology, one thing we didn't bring up, guys, is Siri. I mean, we all love Siri, and we couldn't live without Siri. Siri is how we text. Siri is how we ask them to read our text, how we ask her to make phone calls for us, play our voicemails, all of that stuff. Siri opens our applications for us. Without Siri, we would be lost. And Siri is, I think, for visually impaired, is our gal for sure. And every time it's updated, she gets better. I used to not like her, but she's okay now. And I want to go back because I did change my phone over to a Samsung for a while because I thought I was going to always be able to see that really big screen, a Samsung Note, because I was going to be able to see. I wasn't going blind. Well, then I couldn't. Well, then I couldn't see it. But it didn't have the accessibility features on it, and I just couldn't seem to figure it out. But there is an app. So anyone who has an Android out there, there is an application you can download. It's called Robin. And it's called Robin, My Personal Assistant. And she is the Android's version of Siri. And she will read your text. She will text people. She will make calls, that kind of thing. But it's an application. And the only problem I have with it is that she would shut down. Sorry, I can't help you. Shut down. And I would get very frustrated when she wouldn't understand what I was saying. Or I know Siri has her problems too, but this title, it just got old, and because it was an application, it wasn't as reliable as I needed it to be. So my family said, Mom, switch back to the iPhone. And I said, okay, I'll give it a week. But I didn't like Siri before, and, that's why I had to break up with her, because I didn't like her. So I tried the iPhone for a week, and I was hooked. I was back hooked on Siri. So I had to fire Robin, and I got rid of her, and I got rid of my Android Samsung Note, and I went back to my old iPhone, and Siri and I have been happy ever since. So, that's been such a great thing. And even with my iPad, I teach fitness classes, and I have all my music, of course, my iTunes on there, and
I take my iPad to my fitness classes, and I just tell Siri to open up my music and play whatever playlist I'm playing that day, you know, Ripped 15 or whatever I'm doing, and she starts my music for me. So she's like my little DJ at the gym as well. So that's been really handy as far as doing my music, because again, if you can't see the iPod or a phone, you know, it's nice to be able to see what she's playing because the iPad's bigger, but Siri, through an iPod, I had that for a while, of course, doesn't have Siri, so I used my phone, but that got a little bit difficult because of all the calls and everything going on and on-off airplane mode, you know, all that stuff. So I just ended up using my iPad, and it's been great. So, again, we didn't give the kudos to Siri that I thought we should, so that's why I butt in here. So, anyway.
Totally good point. Yeah. No,
yeah.
I forget that she's our lifeline. And just kind of jumping off the iPad, love conversation. Different than Amy and Maria, and I actually have an iPad mini, which I find useful for portability. The iPad is definitely accessible and portable, but I stick it in my purse. I mean, I take it with me as much as I would take my iPhone with me. I actually probably use my iPad more than I use my iPhone. And if my iPad could make phone calls, I wouldn't probably have a phone. I use it for everything. I've actually finally jumped back into online banking, online shopping. I'm able to read voiceover with Facebook and my emails and try to keep tabs on everything. So my iPad is my go-to, and it's so nice that it has those accessibility features like Andy was talking about with the double-click on the center key so I could go back and forth between voiceover, speak selection. Those are the biggest ones that I use as well that really help me be as effective as I was once before with vision. Which leads me into our blind tip, Maria.
Oh, all right. So the blind tip for this month, or tips, you know, everyone knows, well, you know, I'm a mom. I teach and do all those great things, but, you know, I'm at home a lot, and, you know, moms cook, moms keep things organized, things like that. You know, we all do. But one of the things that I use in the kitchen, and it's no surprise to anybody, but I'm not a very good cook, and my family is, I've never been a good cook, and so now that I'm visually impaired, I am really bad, and I still haven't learned all the cooking tricks, but chopping up vegetables, potatoes, things like that, you can use a knife, and then you risk cutting your finger, things like that. I know there's tricks to, you know, how you hold the piece that you're cutting and all that. But I can rough chop anything. And then my mom brought me it's called a chopping wizard. And it's one of those pieces that, you know, you have a container, and then on top of it is like a grid, but it's blades. And then it has a top.
I have a chop wizard. Go ahead.
Yes. Awesome. And it slams down, and it cuts your whatever you're cutting, your carrots, your zucchini, your potatoes, and it just chops away, and you chop. First of all, it saves time. Second, you don't run the risk of cutting your fingers, dicing, or chopping anything, and you just keep chopping everything, and I absolutely love it. Time saver and finger saver. For sure.
And you can slam your fist down on that thing.
That's right. I will cut anything on that. And if it won't cut, I'll just keep hitting it harder, right? Seriously, they know when mom's in the kitchen because I am pounding out veggies, you know, left and right for stir fry or potatoes or ginger and garlic because it comes with different sized blades. Anyway, you can pick them up at Bed Bath & Beyond. I even think if there's similar ones I've seen on TV. I mean, it's that cheesy, but it's awesome. And the other thing I wanted to talk about is organization in the bathroom. I'm going to give a shout-out. I don't know if she's on the call, but one of the gals I spoke to in the very early stages of my vision loss was a gal named Candace, and she lives in Virginia. And she was talking about her bathroom and how, you know, she knocked a lot of things over and all that. And I go, well, I don't do that, so whatever. Well, then I started doing it because my vision just started, got worse and worse and worse. So what she told me she does, which I now do, and it's awesome. You know those, they're the, you know, toiletry kits that roll up and they have a hanger on them and you use them for travel and you hang them up in the hotel room and you got all your little things in the compartment. Well, I got rid of everything on my bathroom sink, pretty much everything. And I put everything in a hanging toiletry kit and it hangs on my towel rack. I have my toothpaste, my deodorant, my face lotions, my this, my that. It's all hanging right there. I do not have to search for anything. I do not knock things over. It is all hanging right there, and it stays there. I never put it away. And if I'm going somewhere, I roll it up, and I take it with me. And that, just because as, you know, being visually impaired, we have to be almost OCD where we put things. You know, you need to know where stuff is. So I have found that to be extremely helpful in the bathroom. It's hanging, a hanging toiletry kit, and leave it hanging, take it with you, bring it home, put it back up, and it's fantastic. And so those are my blind tips for today, is the chopper and the toiletry kit. So there you go, guys.
Those are great ideas. I love the toiletry kit thing. See, never lose anything.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, and you know where everything is all the time, and unless your daughter comes in and starts taking stuff, and, you know, anyway, that's my own problem. But, you know, I mean, from tweezers to scissors to little items that you would never be able to find unless you had a specific place for it, which is how this toiletry kit has, because, you know, and there's so many varieties out there. You just, you know, find one that has a lot of pockets and a lot of little places, and you'll just start to remember where everything is, and it's fantastic. So there you go.
Totally. And organization is key. You probably wouldn't put on eyeliner or lip liner on your eyes like I did last week. So if I was a little bit more organized.
Yeah, there you go.
Priceless. Yeah.
Yeah. And looking for females, you know, you can have a separate one just for makeup. And, you know, if you're a female, you know, because we have, you know, as much makeup as we can put on, you know, which is not a whole lot. But you can have a separate one for just makeup and then another one for every day or, you know, whatever. You know, it's up to you.
Yeah, those are great ideas, and I love the chopping thing just because I like to keep on my fingers. That's huge.
Awesome. Yeah, no, it's fantastic.
Well, thank you, Maria. That is great. I mean, definitely something I need to go and purchase. So, you guys, wanted to thank you, everyone, for being there. It's getting a little late, but I definitely wanted to have a little Q&A session where we could, if anyone had any questions about the chopper or for Jacob or for us about ZoomText, iPads, what we use. Is there any questions out there? And before I kind of open it up, if you do have a question, if you could say your name and where you're from, that would be awesome.
Can I start? My name's Sula Granger. I'm calling from Brisbane, Australia.
Welcome.
I actually created the group on Facebook that you guys posted on.
Oh, welcome.
So
thank you for coming.
Yeah. I started that a few years ago now. We had a little group on Yahoo that there was probably about 8 or 9 members altogether, including myself. And on Facebook, I thought, this is what's starting to boom. And I added the people that I knew off Yahoo and my family. And so probably about 15 people to begin with. And now I'm so proud that there's over 1,800 members. I just can't believe it. And I'd like to
thank
you guys.
What is your name? I'm sorry.
This is great. My name is Julie Granger.
Well,
Julie,
thank you very much for starting that group, because you have absolutely brought a community together that, you know, would just be lost without social media. Thank you so much.
That's what I'm so proud of.
Yeah.
It's Wayne.
So many of us.
Go ahead, Wayne.
No, I just said, hey, Julie. I just didn't know that was Julie. It's Wayne.
Oh, hello.
Wayne is
here.
Wayne Daniels.
Are you both on?
Wayne Daniels, yeah.
Are you both on?
Good, very good. One thing. I went and looked in my CCTV, and it's made by HumanWare. That's
okay.
The brand. and it's okay. called My Reader 2. But HumanWare makes it. But
okay.
it's just, to pay that much money, it's lousy. The Optilec is the best.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thank you again. Any other questions or comments? No. Okay.
Well, awesome. Well, thank you guys again. We will be hosting LHON Live again on the first Wednesday of October. And if you guys have any questions or comments, anything that you'd like to hear, definitely have to talk about. If you think we should change anything, if you want to be a speaker, we would love to have you. Please email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. I try to get back to everyone as soon as possible. So definitely reach out. And if you would like to connect with Maria or Andy, I promise I will make sure I connect you guys and we'll forward on the information just so we can all connect. And thank you guys again. I totally appreciate you jumping on the call.
Hello. Before we end, can I mention one more thing?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Especially for people that have jobs that are more mobile, I found a portable CCTV. It's called a VisioBook. And it's because my job, I'm a social worker, and I am mobile going to clients' homes and holding meetings outside of my office. So I have not actually gotten one, but I have tested one. My Voc Rehab office is going to purchase it for me, luckily. So it's a CCTV that folds out, but when you fold it up, it's the size of a textbook. So, you know, you can throw it in a book bag with all your other technology, and, you know, it's heavy as anything, but, you know, you have all your stuff there that you may need, especially if you have a job that's maybe more mobile where you're not necessarily in the office all the time. So that is called a VisioBook, and it's a nice piece of equipment because it folds out into a full-size CCTV.
Wow. Great.
That's really cool.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. That's awesome. Because sometimes with people, when you have your CCTV at home and you're at work, or you have your CCTV at work and you don't have one at home, some people may feel just kind of lost. They, you know, they're like, I need to read something, and they can't read it. So having a portable one for would be a great thing for people that, you know, maybe work at home and also work in an office. And like you said, Brian, you also work at clients' homes. So great, great piece of information.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Benjamin, do you have anything to jump in? I know he's another tech-savvy one. He might have jumped off by now.
Oh, sounds like he's off.
All right. Well, I think that is it. I will make sure to post my Zoom text tips and tricks and shortcuts for anyone interested. If we can help with anything, please let us know. Definitely feel free to email us at lhonlive@gmail.com. We will be so excited to hear from you guys. And if you would like to be a guest speaker, please let us know. And we look forward to talking with you guys next month.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you being here. All right.
Please keep posting on the Facebook page and keep us updated.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been difficult for me over here to work out what time you guys are compared to me, but I'll try and tune in every month.
Oh,
well, we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. And we will try and give you a little heads up a week or so before the call, and then maybe the day before, so that, you know, in case you got busy and forgot. But we always will post it there as reminders for sure, the day and time.
Sounds fantastic.
Terrific. All righty. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank
All
you.
Right.
Lovely to meet everybody.
Oh,
yes,
you
agree.
Well, I think that's a wrap. Thanks, everyone, for being on the call.
Good night.
All right.
See you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.